What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Vile Files.
This is a good episode.
It's great.
I loved Lauren.
Rochelle is very excited. yes, our guest is Lauren Zima, bachelorette correspondent for Entertainment Tonight. Also, Chris Harrison's
girlfriend.
You know what? How do we say it? Where it's just like Chris is her boyfriend.
Yeah.
Chris Harrison's girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
Chris Harrison has the pleasure of dating Lauren Zima. Rochelle is back from her mysterious vacation. Unfortunately, Suge is not with us today.
I know, we're bummed.
I mean, real talk, I know this is maybe even a hot topic. Suge's dog, Oliver, was attacked by another dog.
Yeah.
And
he's okay.
He is going to survive. It was a very scary situation. This is a heated debate, and we've kind of recorded a little bit before. I mentioned the dog breed on my Instagram that has now been expired. I've been told by some people, I don't necessarily agree with it, that it's not good to name the breed of the dog because of stereotypes or whatever. I don't know necessarily agree. My frustration isn't with the dog, it's with the owner.
Yeah, the owner messed up.
This particular dog we come to find has put two other dogs in the hospital. It's a rescue dog, and I think it's amazing to rescue a dog. I think the reality is that sometimes if you are going to rescue a dog, you should be respectful of that dog and other people around that, because that dog might come from a past that has made them susceptible to violence.
Yeah.
Just like people, dogs can be weaponized. And just like people, some dogs are potentially more dangerous than others. That's just a fact. I mean, this particular breed of dog, I love. I think they're awesome dogs, and they can be very gentle and kind. Unfortunately, it's a type of dog that if you abuse it and treat it with violence, mm-hmm. and it acts out violently, mm-hmm. can be very scary and can cause serious damage to those around it, which is unfortunate. But my frustration is with this owner.
The
this owner was skateboarding with this dog. And I don't know anything about, like, I'm assuming that only riles up a dog when they're skateboarding and going. And then this owner, when the dog attacked Oliver, yelled out, pick up your dog.
Like, she did.
She picked the dog, and the dog clamped on to Oliver's leg and shook it. And thankfully, that's all that happened.
So traumatizing for Suge, too.
It was scary. And thank God that Suge's arm didn't get in the way, or like a 2-year-old child was there, you know. It's really scary. But this owner knew this dog was capable of it, and yet this owner chose not to muzzle his dog, which I get. He's like, oh well, when I skateboard with him, he can't breathe right. Well, then don't skateboard with your dog, dude. If your dog, because now this dog's at risk. What is Suge supposed to do in this situation? When you find out your dog's attacked, and then it's attacked two other dogs, and this guy clearly has shown that he's not a responsible dog owner.
Right.
You're like forced. Then you have to put on the dog. Well, you're not going to put down the owner.
Yeah.
You know, like, and it's scary, and this dog doesn't deserve to be put at risk, but clearly this, and I think that's just unfortunate. So if you are a dog owner, and if you have rescued a dog, that's awesome. But regardless of whatever dog that you have, if your dog has a history of biting people or biting other dogs, then put your dog in a situation, or don't put them in a situation that allows them to put other people at risk. And it's really unfortunate.
And we're sending our love to Suge and Oliver.
Anyways, that's all I got to say about that. Rochelle, where the hell were you?
Okay, so I nanny part-time, and I went with them to Hawaii. So I guess I was kind of embarrassed to say, like, I'm nannying.
Why?
I don't know.
Are you nanny shaming?
I guess I am. I apologize.
Are you not?
It's not what I want to be doing at my age, but you know, it's fun.
What do you mean at your age?
I don't know. It's just not, it's fine.
Did you get paid to go to Hawaii?
I got paid to go to Hawaii. And let me tell you, okay, I was inspired by the Becca Jess episode of like owning, you know, being alone, mysterious French woman. And I went on Tinder in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, if your self-esteem is low, go to a remote island and get on Tinder, because you will match with everybody.
Did you get laid?
Well, I won't say that, but I went on a date, a secluded beach, okay? Watched the sunset. He had a picnic, stars above, beach, no, not a soul in sight. Can you imagine?
You won't say you got laid?
I don't want any.
So Rochelle may or may not have been laid.
Yes.
laid. Well, where you were in Hawaii.
I was in Hawaii. Oh, so I definitely was laid.
So you definitely got laid.
Yeah.
But did.
Isn't that. I'm like, guys in LA don't put in any effort. This guy. Beach, picnic.
Are you
sunset?
Still, are you still in contact with this romantic man?
I mean, there's no point, really.
Hit it and quit it.
Well, I mean, what's he lives in Hawaii.
He's 4 hours away. So you don't believe in long distance relationships?
Long distance?
He's a 4 hour flight.
Nick, really?
Does he want to keep talking?
He has no intention of moving to LA ever.
Does he want to keep talking?
I don't get that impression.
Savage.
What?
Savage. No, I'm not. I'm giving you a hard time. I think it's great. So you had a great, you made some money.
Yeah.
You went on vacation.
Yeah.
You met a man. You had a picnic underneath the stars. You may or may not have had sex. Yeah. If her mom's listening, she didn't have sex.
Yeah.
But wink, wink. Good for you, Rochelle. Welcome back.
Thank you.
We could catch up on your life. And thanks for holding down the fort. We missed you. I mean, technically, we were just a goddamn mess while you were gone. But you are back. And we do, as Rochelle mentioned, have a great episode with our dear friend Lauren Zima. We get to know a little bit about Lauren.
And she said she's never talked about her relationship
before. We've got to find out how they met.
Yeah.
Who hit up who? Obviously, I heard some thoughts on the Jed situation.
Yeah.
She had the pleasure. I don't know. She interviewed Jed's accuser.
Oh.
Sounds so.
That does sound.
Well, Jed's accuser. I like saying it because it sounds like, makes it sound
bad.
Yeah. Which is great. So
we love the drama.
We do. Anyways, thanks for listening. I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. And yeah, Lauren Zima, everybody. Rochelle, how are you loving your natural habits?
Well, I'm loving my diffuser, if I'll be honest. Mm. Because my roommate always is lighting candles, and now I can't be around candles because you freak me out about them.
But they're not healthy for you.
But he loves the diffuser. He's a guy, but he loves the style of it. You know? It's good, like gender neutral.
Comes in white and black. It's very elegant. Yeah. Listen, you have candles for aesthetics and a few. But yeah. You shouldn't be breathing it in. But more importantly, did you know that when you're diffusing essential oils into the room, it actually I can't pronounce the word. It creates more oxygen in the air.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. It's very healthy for you.
Yeah.
Anyways, if you are looking for a cleaner solution to scent your indoor air, even if that's all you do,
yeah,
it's a much healthier, safer option that also can help relieve stress. Has a relaxing feeling. It can help reduce headaches.
Yeah,
it can boost your immune system.
Yeah, I'm addicted to it.
I'm glad that you're liking it. Again, right now, and we're going to change this, but right now, all new customers get 20% off.
Wow!
At checkout, you don't even have to put a code in
on the diffuser too.
On everything. On our website. Free shipping domestically. Head to nhoils.com. Get yourself a diffuser or in a roll-on.
Yeah.
Roll-ons are ready to go. You can take them anywhere. If you are on the go, it's great for kind of resetting during the day. If you do a yoga and meditation class, it is an alternative to use as a perfume or a cologne. If you want, it will absorb into your skin and it won't last because we don't put chemicals or fragrances in that, but you can keep applying it. You know,
you're going to get addicted. I'm addicted to the roll-ons.
Try nhoils.com, natural habits. Follow us on Instagram. A lot of great health information on our Instagram about essential oils, how to use them, all the benefits they have with them. So give us a follow at natural habits and nhoils.com.
Now go buy the stuff.
Lauren Zima.
Ooh.
How are you? Welcome to the Vile Files.
Thank you for having me, and thank you for this mug with your face on it.
Yeah.
I love it so much.
Thanks for drinking out of my face.
No one has ever said that to me before.
Just came to me. Lauren Zima is our wonderful guest today. Lauren, I feel this feels...
Does it feel weird?
It feels a little weird.
Yeah.
It's like the Lauren's usually the one asking the hard-hitting questions to me. And I'm usually trying to deflect, being like, I don't know. Let me answer your question in a way that I feel comfortable asking because I don't want to answer your question.
Why not?
Well, because, Lauren, for those of you who don't know, works for ET Entertainment Tonight.
Yes.
And is kind of she's the Bachelor go-to woman.
Thank you.
For Entertainment Tonight. And she's made a name for herself in journalism and pop culture in general, and has a very hit popular recap show called Roses and Rosé.
Yes.
Is that it?
Did you nailed it, right? You did not say Roses and Rose.
She also once asked me to make her a video for her, and I was just like doing a bunch of shit and talking to her friend, and I recorded it and I sent it to her, and I called her Laura in the video. After I sent it, I was like, what the fuck?
Oh, no.
Dark.
Felt real dumb.
Dark times.
Dark moment. I mean, we've known each other for quite some time now, and yeah, it's weird because we were just talking about this, but we can't remember when we met, but I think I first interviewed you at your photo shoot to be The Bachelor, because we always, ET always does the photo shoots for the lead. And I was so excited for you to be Bachelor. I got up and cheered when they announced you.
Really?
Yes.
Thanks. That makes me feel good.
I did. You were so good on Paradise. I remember we were in the office and we were all like, yes, like this is such a surprise. It's so fun. It's so great. And we were so stoked. And then I was also... I was on your date with Rachel. Remember in New Orleans? Yeah. I interviewed you there. Yeah.
Wait, you watched the date?
Well, we always go and we do kind of a set visit with a date. Oh. So,
you do that like kind of every season.
We do it every season. For Hannah's season, we did the rugby date.
Oh, that's literally.
Oh, there's our picture. Yeah. That's our photo shoot. Yeah. Oh, we're babies.
That was like
so much has changed.
2 years ago. Yeah. Speaking of which, Lauren.
Tea.
Also is, got closer to the franchise.
Yeah.
In what way?
She is now the...
look at her face.
The lady friend, girlfriend of one Chris Harrison.
Woo!
We say lady friend.
Lady friend. I just want to know who slid into whose DM.
Oh, I DM'd him.
You did? See?
Yeah.
She did DM him.
Oh, yeah.
Women are doing it nowadays.
Good for you. And yeah. How... That's a bold move on your part.
Well, I will say I DM'd after a bit of a vibe. We were,
nevertheless, still bold. Oh, but what was the vibe you were getting?
Well, I fully support women sliding into the DMs.
I'm not even saying that wasn't bold, but yeah. This is the host of a hit show of which you cover.
Right.
And I'm sure Chris's job is to be charming and delightful and friendly.
Totally.
And potentially could have been mistaken as flirty, but yet you were like, no, this dude's into me.
Yeah.
I'm going to shoot my shot.
I did, and I felt it. Yeah, well, I've been interviewing him.
What did he do specifically?
I've been interviewing him for, 3 years, and it was always incredibly professional.
Yes.
And not, truly, no, really. I mean, not in a negative way, but I never was like, I just never even looked at him that way, because here is the difference. When you're interviewing.
Wait, what do you mean you didn't look at him that way?
I mean, I didn't like find, I never looked at him and even considered
Choose
whether I found him attractive.
Choose your words carefully about
Daddy
your boyfriend.
I really didn't.
Come on.
I truly didn't. I promise.
Anyways, I'm teasing.
But when you interview people who are the contestants, a lot of people are having like their first taste of being interviewed. So they want to like chat a little bit before or after. It's a little more chatty. But Chris has been doing this for such a long time, and he would have to, probably go and do something else. So he comes and he always does press in a very professional, timely. I come do my interview, I give great sound bites, I leave kind of away. So it was just always so professional and so cordial, and he was always lovely, and that was it. And then I ran into him. Mm. I was getting some coffee. He was getting some tea. He doesn't drink coffee. And he said something about like
you just ran into him like at a
yeah and
off the
not she a, was not, stalking
not
him.
In a work setting.
Well,
I ran into him. She was like, I was waiting on the ninth hole at the golf course. She constantly.
I'll be honest. It was at a tell all taping.
Oh,
we're both at craft services.
Oh, craft service love.
We ran into him.
I went to go get coffee. We're not even in the same. He's on the stage. We're back.
Is it craft services? One
craft
of the breaks?
Services running during a break, and. He just gave me a different vibe. I think we...
What was the vibe? This is great. I really appreciate you sharing this, because this show, we talk a lot about dating, and it can be very confusing to like know when to shoot your shot. I'd love to know what specifically... Could you give our listeners more details?
Sure.
To know when they should shoot theirs, because sometimes it's very confusing. Like, he does X, Y, and Z. I don't know if he's into me.
Well, what I actually have told a lot of my friends is, I just don't see the harm...
in sending someone a placid message.
Placid.
Totally great. Also, I'm going to ask you what that word means, yeah. But before...
Calm. Chill.
Before... But what Easy was the going. Vibe? Like, there has to have been something.
There was something significant.
Did he offer you cream? Like...
Stop.
I didn't mean that in a... Wow, that... Freudian slip.
Wow.
She's gagging into her vile file mug.
She was getting coffee. He was like, hey, yes. Lauren, can I get you a
No, it was actually, it was fairly overt. I think he said something about, he mentioned something about like picking his kids up or something. He somehow brought up like being single, I think. And then I said,
okay, there we go.
Oh yeah. I mean, I'm.
If only I had someone to pick up my kids with.
I said something like, I'm single now. And he was like, oh, but I said it in a more eloquent way than that. I don't know. Somehow it was communicated.
Revealed? This
is sounding... He wasn't like, give me that ass.
He didn't say that. Okay, no. But
Chris
it was
is a professional.
I mean, I'm making it sound much more straightforward than it was. I think it was more conversational than that, but somehow it was communicated.
It was electric chemistry.
And I just DM'd him and said, hey, it was really good to see you.
I get what Lauren's trying to say. Like, and these, no, right? But like, it sounds like you can, there's the difference between someone who's like being pleasant and nice. How was your day?
Totally.
Can I open the door for you? That's not necessarily flirting. But when someone starts like saying, yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
When you're I'm super single, you know? And like, yeah, like I'm sure I've done stuff like that where you're just kind of like, I don't know if you're interested, but I just want you to know.
Right. Which I appreciate.
What's going on with me? And then that makes sense.
Because you know what is annoying is when you are just being a pleasant person and people do think you're hitting on them.
Right.
Which it's like, no, I'm just.
All the time.
For you, Nick.
For Nick.
On the daily.
No.
I know it.
I've been told I'm a flirt. I think I just am a pleasant person. Well, I've also been told I'm not pleasant, but but when I'm trying to be pleasant, apparently I'm a flirt.
I endorse you one way or the other. Pleasant Nick, not pleasant.
Anyway, so Chris was
so that was communicated, and he had also I think mentioned something about it had just been his birthday. Maybe his birthday was coming up. I don't remember. But so I just DM'd him
and said.
And
he was like, I was super alone on my birthday.
I was so darkly alone. Now that I think about it, I don't remember. I was so captivated by him in the moment that I don't remember.
Captivated.
Yeah. But I messaged him and said, it was so, you know, it was really good to see you the other day. Like, I hope all is well. And I think I said, have a good birthday or hope your birthday was good. Something like that.
Oh, so it was a very benign.
Very benign.
Placid.
Placid. What does placid mean?
Well, we should Google it and get the exact definition in case I'm using it wrong. But I believe it to mean
did you get
easy,
calm.
Do you
have a word of the day calendar? And now you're trying to throw it in.
No, it's calm. Yeah, like a lake.
Not easily.
Like Lake Placid.
Excited.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was
even
the best
tempered,
word.
calm
and peaceful.
Yeah.
Even okay, benign.
Benign.
It was kind of like
not a huge swing, a little you know bunt.
It was a wave.
It was a wave, and that is what I tell my friends because I do have some girlfriends who are very much caught up in I think the movie fantasy of how relationships start, and they think that they're going to meet like an incredibly handsome doctor at like a book club who's going to come up to them and just ask them out. And I'm like, this is not how
we
it works, you guys.
We all
want to
meet that way, but like, yeah.
I say, what is wrong with like saying like just send a little DM? It doesn't have to be hi, I want to go out with you, but get the conversation going.
So let me ask you this. When you DM'd, it sounds like, was this going on in your head? Because this is smart. Because, all right, was Lauren Zima being like, all right, I think this guy was flirting with me. I want to shoot my shot. But I want to do it in a kind of fail-safe way where if I just say hi and like kind of open the door window, if he doesn't reply back, I'm still in the clear.
100%.
Because I wasn't like, hey, man, I want to lick your face. Should we get some coffee?
100%.
That's weird to come back from.
Yes.
You know, like.
I didn't say, hey, I couldn't be more single and I know how darkly alone you are.
So you sent this fairly benign.
Placid.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Hope the B-day's great.
When did it escalate? Did Chris escalate it?
We did a little bit of DMing back and forth. It got a little more flirtatious.
Who really shot the shot?
He finally said, he's a gentleman in every sense of the word. He finally said, like, we should grab a drink.
Great. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
So, Chris, you like paved the runway.
I opened the door and he walked through.
He did.
Oh, yeah. That's the perfect great. Way to
open
go.
Open the door.
That's great. Make it, let's make it easy on each other, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. What would you have done had Chris not done that? Were you ready to like?
I would not have asked him out.
No.
No.
Why not?
Because I think, like I said, I got a little bit of a different vibe, but it still, you know, we've known each other professionally for years. Mm-hmm. I didn't know. Maybe it was just, I mean, we both jokingly call it, like the other day, somebody asked us how we met and I waited to hear him tell the story for the first time. And it made me really happy. He told it exactly the same way. And he used the same phrase that I've used when telling my friends, which is we had our first human conversation. So after that conversation, I wasn't sure if I'd totally read it right. So I wouldn't have asked him out if he hadn't reciprocated.
I'm curious because while you don't, like, you guys don't work for the same company.
Right.
You know, like, and I do get a lot of questions and, like, especially with my questions with Nick about, like, work situations. So you guys don't work for the same company, but you work together. You are colleagues in a sense.
In a sense.
Right? It would certainly make your job harder had you felt embarrassed let's say in a non-dating setting, let's say you ran into Chris at a bar, got super drunk, were totally inappropriate. I'm not saying you would. That would make your job harder, right? As a host of the show that you cover.
Of course.
So like you're kind of in a way colleagues. So Chris, same thing for Chris. He had to make this decision. This is someone that I interact with through work,
yes.
who works for a company that covers our show. Mm-hmm. It's hard as a guy, especially in like, you know, today's, you know, Me Too great thing. But like we, as guys, we want to make sure that we're being appropriate, especially in work situations. Chris is in a position of power as the host of the show. I give him credit for like trying.
Well, look, this is why I act, and it's actually,
you know,
another
what I'm
reason.
Like, yes, it's tough. It's
but
tough
it's
to
another
do.
Reason that I encourage my girlfriends to open the door. Because you know what it does? It puts you also in a position of power and comfort as mm-hmm. a woman, yeah. so you can feel at that arena. And I also understand that for men, we put the onus on them a lot of them making that first move. That's nerve wracking. That can be confusing for them. They don't, you know, the good ones don't want to offend anyone. So it all worked out really well. And it was also the perfect amount of time of we had like a little bit of messaging. And then like he said, let's grab a drink and have real person talk, because that's another thing I think my friends do. They stay in the dating app messaging world too long. I'm like, you're misreading tone. It's getting weird. Get a real conversation.
But why wouldn't you have
asked him out?
Yeah.
What if
Chris was like, again, he didn't, and good for Chris, but what if Chris was just like, man, what if he was literally thinking the same thing you were thinking? Mm-hmm. And he was just like, what if?
If he hadn't given me flirty vibes, I would have just left it. I think
but he responded.
Okay, here's why I wouldn't have asked him out. Because I opened the door. Because I already felt I'd gone my way a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. And now I need you to come
to
me a little bit.
You wanted some reciprocity.
Yeah. It's kind of like, wasn't it on Becca Kufrin's season when some guy got out of the limo and he was like, I need you to come.
Oh, that was
60%.
Oh, God.
Whatever. Let's each take a step forward. So I'd taken my step and I needed him to take a step. And he did.
And now you guys are in love.
Isn't it hard? Do you like expect these bachelor type dates? Like roses, helicopters, waterfalls?
No, I don't.
I hate when people ask those questions.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Is that a
no, 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 it's not. No. It's just more like those are literally the worst dates to have in The Bachelor, first of all. And like this unreasonable expectation that Chris would have as the host of The Bachelor that somehow he's got to bring in a helicopter or
just
a waterfall.
Be very romantic.
He is
he's a guy's guy.
He is a guy's guy, but he's also, I mean, I sort of feel that I'm reaping the benefits of someone who's worked on this show and learned how to talk to women for so long. Oh. He is so communicative. He's so thoughtful. He's so clear with his feelings and a good listener. I mean, you know, date an interviewer. We listen. It's great. I don't expect bachelor dates from him, but I will tell you, he's taken me on a helicopter.
Oh, yes.
As
Daddy Harrison
was it,
did one time.
Was it everything you wanted it to be?
I really got to tell you, I'm going to get so sappy, but I could have fun with him anywhere. I have such a great time with him. I have so much fun with him, and I'm so happy with him if we're like scanning through movies to find something to watch on TV or if we were in the helicopter.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
But like the helicopters itself aren't very romantic. Also, you can get very like motion sickness in helicopters.
You know what is weird? I mean, our little headsets weren't really working. It's not like easy to
it's
talk to
It's a very
each
unromantic
other.
Setting, if I'm being
100%.
Honest. 100%. I mean, especially when you have cameras in your face.
Oh,
helicopters are small. So on every bachelor date, there's like...
Oh, I never thought
you're
about
right
that.
There, and there's a producer and at least one cameraman and an audio... It's
they have to be inches from your face.
Yeah, so it's not in any way romantic.
Yeah, no, you can't like have an easy conversation. Your headphones going in and out. You're like, what? What? Yeah, no, did you see the water? Yeah, great. I would not call it romantic.
Well, I'm very excited for your love life.
Thank you.
Let's get to know Lauren, the journalist.
Okay.
Where did you always want to be? You're a journalist, right?
I'm a journalist.
Was that your major in college?
It was. I was, my undergrad was in magazine journalism.
There's a specific magazine.
There is. I went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Oh,
not
we're now.
Romantic.
We've just pulled up Nick.
You look a little motion
and
sick.
Why are you shirtless in this helicopter, Nick?
We were in the Virgin Islands. Also, I don't need a reason.
we're watching this clip of you and Andy in the helicopter.
You don't need a reason to have your shirt off.
You don't look happy. And you're shirtless. Is your back
sweaty?
We
both
look
miserable. Well, I knew I was sending her home at that point. I had just sent home Whitney.
Oh, this is Danielle.
Yeah. That was a 2-on-1.
I got to tell you, just the quickest glance, I thought that was Andy Dorfman, but that's me
too.
Oh, yeah, a little bit. Yeah. We didn't have the most striking conversations.
You and Danielle? Yeah. Well, you're not talking in this clip we're watching.
That was probably the most we ever talked.
Look, another helicopter.
That was... Not the most two beautiful women. Not I didn't.
I think you said that wrong. But is this another?
Wait. No, they're like two beautiful women right. I struggled having.
This is another helicopter clip where no one's
the
talking.
Same date.
You probably can't hear each other. It's not a great setting. Your shirt's
also,
on here.
That also is true.
Yeah. So funny.
So magazine journalism.
Yes, I went to the University of Missouri School of Journalism. Very good school. And my undergrad was in magazine, and then I got my master's degree in broadcast journalism. Mm. Yeah. And
how'd you end up in LA?
It's kind of weird. I've back and forth. When I was 22, when I just was finishing up my master's, I moved here to work for Variety. I was doing like party and event coverage and movie premiere coverage for them. And then I got offered a job at a startup that I'd worked at while I was in school called Newsy. So I moved back to the Midwest to work for that startup. And then when I was at Newsy, Entertainment Tonight reached out and offered me a job. So then I moved back to LA. So I've been back and forth in it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I know like do you feel a kind of a sense, like your major or your career path is challenging. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of grind to it. What are some words of wisdom you could offer to the people out there, men and women, who, want to do what you're doing because it's tough.
Yes.
It's like a lot of people don't get to do what you're doing. And I got to assume there were some, discouraging moments in your path to being the bachelor, the bachelor correspondent.
Well, you know, it's hard because I've gone and spoken at my school and people want this really clear path, right? You know, like what were the steps you took to get there? And media is changing so much and has changed so much over the past 10 years that there isn't as clear of a path as there used to be. It used to be that you'd start at a local news station and like work your way up market to market. And now I just tell people, lean into your brand, lean into your personality, say yes to work always until you really feel comfortable in a place where you can turn down work and feel okay. But I hustled so hard. I mean, I was at one point in LA working two jobs and I was taking classes and doing internships so I could get the classes for free at three different improv theaters. Because I was trying to kind of do like comedy and journalism at the same time. So just hustle and also take improv classes, which you have done and you and I have done at the same theater.
I didn't know you did comedy.
Yeah.
So funny. That makes sense.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. So kind.
Groundlings. And did you do Groundlings or UCB? I've done both.
I did IO, UCB and Groundlings. We had one of the same UCB teachers.
Oh, really?
Yes. I forget her name, but she's a lovely woman. I think her name is Jess.
She, Yeah.
Jess Eason.
Jess Eason. Yeah. We love that Jess Eason.
She had a Liberty commercial.
Yes, for a long time. And yes, it would run during The Bachelor.
All the time. She must got paid for that because it was on all the time.
Oh, it helps to get a commercial, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
Yes. But I do tell people to take improv classes because this job is so much about listening and asking good follow-up questions. And improv is all about listening and yes and.
Also, if you're in sales. And when I was working for Salesforce, it was they did a good job of like paying for career development things. You could take improv classes and they'd pay for it.
Recommend it.
Just because, again, thinking on your feet, listening, a lot about the thing, you know, stressful situations. It's a great life skill. So yes, even if you're not trying to be a journalist or an actor or a comedian, improv in your local.
Do it.
Michael Scott, you know?
Meet some people.
So now, before you found love with the great Chris Harrison, what was dating like for you in LA?
I think what actually happened was I just wasn't thinking about dating at all. And then stuff just kind of happened, you know? Like it would be, I would start talking to someone at like an event and they'd ask me out or
really
whatever.
Weren't thinking about it. Some people will almost like in that sense kind of swear it off. I don't want to date. I'm not ready to date.
I was I'm just living. I'm not looking for a relationship and I'm not looking for anything. I was just like, I'm just going to focus on work and kind of see what happens. Yeah. I didn't swear off of it or anything, but you're from the Midwest too. It's a sort of different way of growing up than some other places in the country. People get married younger. It feels more like normal or natural to get married a little bit younger. Then you come out to one of the coastal cities and it's like, oh, this is weird. Like, you know what I mean?
In terms of like,
well, I mean, people in LA are single into their 50s and never get married. And you just realize people like live sort of differently all over the country.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? I don't know.
What is your theory?
Well, I think the coasts are more progressive, and I think part of it, I think it's a little bit a combination of like priorities. Mm-hmm. Certainly, there's nothing wrong with or people have different priorities, right? There's that. I also think like, especially in like more traditional, like the Midwest or the Southern, you know, there's this, a lot of getting married, especially back in the day, was a timing thing. You know,
sure,
like you would have your first love and maybe that would or wouldn't work out. But like right around the time you would graduate college, whoever you were kind of in love with in that moment with the person you were like, I think I could get married.
Yeah.
You know, like, and you do. I think nowadays with people, like I've read something that like millennials are getting married later in life. Mm-hmm. And that's probably a good thing.
Well, when you think about when marriage was invented as a concept, people died much younger.
That too.
The timing of it.
I got like 6 years left. So if we could go ahead and have a family.
We got to repopulate.
My life expectancy is at 40.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think, you know, people are just, they're more okay with saying, wait, great that I'm in love with you, but
yeah,
do I want to spend the... They have a little bit more perspective at an earlier age nowadays, I think.
Well, what's sort of weird about me, I guess, is when I was in college, I did not think I ever maybe wanted to get married.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't even think...
I was very like, oh, I'm 25, I'll have 3 kids.
Oh, yeah, no. I was like, I don't even know if I want kids. I don't know if I want to get married.
And then you...
Well, I mean, we're taking a bit of a dark turn and I don't want to get depressing, but I lost my dad when I was 22 and I think that changed my perspective. I suddenly wanted to be clinging to like family and to something real and grounded. Yeah. And so that changed things for me. And then being married changed things for me. So, you know, all these life experiences happen. And I've had people ask me before, like, what's your 5-year plan? I don't have one. I think I've just had experiences where I see how life can change so quickly that I really just try to live in the moment and stay really positive and do things that feel right for the person I want to be in the direction I want to go in, which is why, like, do I want to start dating? No, I really didn't think about, like, you know, what do I want to do next? I want to jump into a relationship. I don't have those goals, I guess.
Before you met Chris, like, were you pretty much single or were you like...
Yeah, yeah.
There was no like 3-month fling?
I dated other people a little bit. Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm, yeah. But single, yeah. And, you know, then we had that weird DM.
When's the wedding?
Oh my gosh,
Nick.
I'm just kidding.
You know, it's so funny.
That's an annoying
question. I've asked him that question. I don't even know how many times.
Yeah. I'm sitting someone who's been like, asked me some very direct questions.
It's very direct.
Yeah, the tables have turned.
Very direct.
Like, why, Nick? Why can't you answer that?
I'll never forget. This was my favorite time I've ever interviewed you. You came up to me at a red carpet. You come up to me and you go, look, I know what questions you're going to ask me. And I was like, okay, well, do you not want me to ask you? And you're like, no, let's do it. I'm like, okay. It was like we were just both so on the same page because it was this place where you knew what everybody was asking you and you just had to keep powering through, poor Nick.
Yeah. I feel like that's your MO, just power through.
Let's just get through my life. You know, let's just do it. I kind of said that. You know what? This is a compliment that I'm going to pay you in a very weird, indirect way, which is what I like to do, is that you're a smart person. And sometimes that, like in those interviews, I just wanted to like, and I know like, listen, you got a job to do. And sometimes the questions that you ask are kind of like, hey, Lauren, we need to ask these questions. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I really appreciated the creative question that I hadn't been asked or like that
Thank
got me
you.
Thinking. I always mm-hmm. thought you were capable of that. And so I was kind of like, hey, what you got for me? You know,
a challenge.
It was a challenge. Yeah. I
love a challenge.
I don't remember what we talked about, probably. So why don't you guys break up? Do you regret it? You know, stuff like that. I'm resetting.
This is him right after Bachelor in Paradise, resetting for a new chapter.
I really didn't know I was going to be the Bachelor.
You didn't?
Why? No.
Why would I know that?
I felt like you talked about it. No. No one thought I was going to be the Bachelor. Kristen thinking I was going to be the Bachelor. I didn't think I was going to be the Bachelor. The people who made me the Bachelor weren't planning on me being the Bachelor.
I mean, I very much believe, and I think we could have that situation on our hands this season, that it can change up to the very minute.
Totally.
I mean, I remember Luke Pell, we interviewed him, and he said, according to him, he said, I was about to get on the plane when I found out I was not
the Bachelor.
Which is
totally believable.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And he definitely was. Every season, they give at least two people a contract to sign to be the lead. With the stipulation, they're very open. We're having this conversation with other people. But they're very good at the Bachelor producers, the thing they're best at more than anything is adjusting on the fly. And that's the
they
that's
have the to
they have to.
I mean, think that is what is so interesting to me right now about the show is how much things change week to week so quickly. Everything can adjust because whether they make a reveal in an episode or whether a reveal is made online, and all of a sudden the vibe, the perception,
so
everything can change. Yeah.
Well, I have a lot to say about this episode, and I first want to get into I'm really into this whole Jed story.
Yes.
But before we get into that,
juicy.
I want to get to know Lauren a little bit more with Do You Know Me?
Our fun game
that we are now playing.
A game I've never played.
It's new. It's available on Amazon.
Yeah.
My friend created it. But I do love it because it's fun little questions. Okay. I'm a big believer, especially in dating situations, is that you can learn a lot from simple questions. I think in dating situations, people go into the, well, tell me about yourself.
Yeah.
What do you do for work?
Ugh.
You know,
yeah.
It's just, and if you can kind of get away from some of those like hard hitting, not that they're hard hitting, but there's a lot of like pressure that comes with like, what do you do for work? Because there's an implication of like, there's how much money do you make is somewhere embedded in that question.
It's too big of a question.
You're like, are you going to be impressed with my job or what I do? Or like, where are you from? But what about like...
I would say get a little more specific.
We're going to play this. So anyways, Rochelle and I'm going to ask these questions.
Okay.
Rochelle and I are going to have a competition of who knows Lauren Zima better. The assumption is
Don't
maybe me, but this is really about reading someone because they're random.
Nick, if you lose,
I was just gonna say.
We're gonna answer these right away. We did this twice. We're gonna shorten it up a little bit. But is Lauren using someone else's Netflix account? I'm gonna change a little bit. Have you ever used someone else's Netflix account on like an ongoing basis? Not like one time login, but for a period of time, you were like, I'm logging in. Hold on. Let me before you answer, I'm going to say yes.
Yes, everyone in the universe has at one point.
I mean, like, for over, like, 3 months where you were
flat
out not
paying.
I'm
saying yes also.
I have never.
Oh, really?
I have logged in.
Impressive.
Like, but, like, that's a weird, like, it's $10 a month. You can't afford, like, it's a weird thing.
It's just, it's hard to pay for something you don't have to pay for.
Do you mean the person doesn't know you're using it?
Ooh. Either or. But, like, you knowingly, like, didn't pay for your own Netflix that you weren't in a relationship with.
Oh. Now you're adding on so much.
Well, like, he's remembering. He's like, she was married, though.
But, like, if you were married or living with someone, then sure. You don't need two people paying for Netflix.
Okay, what's the answer?
Then my answer is no. I've never done that.
We both lose.
Yeah.
Good for you, Lauren.
Whose Netflix did you think I was using?
No, but, like, again, like, Rochelle clearly has.
I've never paid for Netflix in my life.
Whose Netflix are you using?
I think I'm using my dad's. Okay. Why not?
You're an adult.
I'm not gonna pay for it if I don't have to. So sue me.
So sue me. Put it on my tombstone. Not paying if I don't have to.
I
feel like people are going to be with me on this.
No,
I will say, but she knows I'm using my sister's, like, DirecTV login for cable apps.
So
but she is aware. But it is totally hers. So I'm doing that. Yep. I'm doing that.
See, it's the digital age, baby.
It's tough. But you know, we are a family. I'm also on my best friend's Spotify account.
See,
and I'm going to tell you something dark. She kicked her husband off for me.
How does that work?
Like, she has a family plan and her husband is also on the plan. She's like, I kind of want Lauren to be on our Spotify. So she was like, you can only have so many names. So I'm on her family plan with, like, her and her siblings.
What?
Dark.
You can have a family plan with Spotify?
Yeah.
She wants Lauren's playlist. Blame her.
You can listen to someone's playlist without being in their account.
Okay.
Look,
tomato, tomato.
Female relationships are very important.
They are.
That's a piece of advice I will never not stand by. Yes, prioritize your friendship.
Yes. So either way, we're tied.
Okay, yeah, we're tied. All right, let's move on.
Has Lauren ever been arrested, and I mean even handcuffed or, like, been apprehended? Have you ever been arrested?
She's trying to throw us off.
She absolutely has been arrested.
No.
I have never been arrested.
Nick, what do you
think I've been arrested for?
He was just trying to spice it up. We're learning.
Maybe there's a DUI, or maybe.
What do we learn?
No.
Maybe you, like, college. You know what people get arrested for? Peeing in bushes in college.
Can I tell you, I didn't drink at all in college.
I knew. She's got her shit together. Of anybody I've ever met.
I want to be clear that I drink now, but I did not drink in college.
Have you ever hooked up with someone who's older than 50?
No. I have not.
Thanks for letting us guess.
Oh, I forgot the game.
I was going to guess yes, so I would have got that wrong.
What would I?
Well, how old Chris?
He's 47.
Oh, close.
Ooh, how old are you?
I'm 31.
How do you feel, like, age differences with men and women? Mm-hmm. I mean, we joke, Rochelle likes to tease me a lot about some of the age.
Low-hanging fruit.
How young you've gone?
Yeah,
how
well,
young?
But, okay. Like, not, you know, old. At some point, but, like, like a more maturity thing. At a certain point, like, it's hard for me to meet someone who's under 25. And
is it?
No. It's very
easy.
Extremely.
To meet them.
Let me finish my thought.
Okay.
And consider, like, if
look
I get
around you.
No, all I meet is people under 25. It's hard for me to meet someone, and then, like, let's say there's an initial, like, you're like a meet cute at the craft services.
Craft services,
yeah. And then I find out she's younger than 25. It's hard for me to even, like, where is this gonna go? Because I want to be with someone who's, like, ready potentially, like a.
But Lauren's not.
No, I'm just saying. But in terms of you and Chris are what? That's 15 years apart.
Yeah.
And I, you know, I'm. Like, it's easy for me to meet, like, even a girl, 26, what are your opinion on that? I sometimes get uncomfortable speaking to it because
okay.
I feel like sometimes I don't know if Chris gets self-conscious about it. I get self-conscious. My women friends like to tease me about dating younger women.
Well, here's what I will say. For me, it is all about life experience and the life place that you're in. I mean, I do think that, this is sort of a hard thing for me to talk about because I always worry about making other people uncomfortable in it. But like losing my dad at a young age totally changed my maturity level. I suddenly had to step up in all these new and different ways with my family. A lot with my family changed. So it aged me up in a lot of ways.
Gave you some perspective.
Yeah, completely. So from, you know, and I had that experience when I was 22. Some people are in their 60s and have never had certain life experiences. So I think it's all about life experience, the place that you're at, what you want out of life. I do think that, like, I see where you're coming from. Like, your early 20s are such a time of change. Yeah. And so I see that and I get that. But at the same time, I look at everything on a case-by-case basis. Yeah. But I see where you're coming from. I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't feel that with them.
No. And again, like, I think at a certain point, as you get older, like, it's...
it's a wash.
Well, right. Like, I mean, kind of to Lauren's point, after, like, 30, like, we're always growing and maturing, and so I'm kind of making a joke. But, like, after 30, you're kind of who you are.
I think that's fair. Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, you might develop and change and have a whole, like... It was fascinating talking to my parents when they were here about, like... their faith, they still have it, but it's certainly a lot different at 60 than it was at 30. They are more progressive and more open, so they have changed as people.
Yeah. Right.
But that's not to say like they aren't different people. But at between 18 and like 25, mm-hmm. there's still so much like figuring yourself out.
You're totally right. At that time, you're figuring out who you are, but then once you have yourself figured out, it is experience that affects and changes you, but I think you're right that you're like core self.
So that's like if I meet someone who's like, say, 23, my reluctance of like pursuing that is I don't really want to be a part of their development as a human being.
And I applaud you on that
trepidation. You know, like it feels like I want to meet someone who confidently is who they are, and we will grow as a couple, but I don't want to be a part of that. Like,
I get that.
Yeah.
Do you think he should be more open to the younger ladies?
No.
Oh, okay. I got you. I was confused.
No,
on
he has like, you have like an age cap of old, how old you'll date.
I do not.
You said that the other week.
I did not.
What's your age cap? Is it 30?
I dated someone who was 2 years older than me a couple months ago.
Oh, and by the way, I have dated people younger than me too. Yeah.
I have an age minimum I try to abide by. I don't do a great job all the time, but I have no age cap in the sense that like, because anyone who's older than me in terms of a maturity level would, but the kid element is obviously something that like,
right.
again, plays a role.
Adds another.
If I were to meet someone at this point in my life, if I were to date someone, let's say who's 2 years older than me, it's fair to wonder, do they want kids? And if they do, how quickly do we have to have kids? The person I dated who was older than me had a kid.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like, well, maybe they're like good with that. I don't know. So there were things about dating someone older than me that I never even considered before because like my whole dating experience, regardless of their age was, they hadn't had kids. And so the assumption is they probably at some point hopefully do. Mm-hmm. And it was like when, you know, and so. Yeah.
Life experience, life place, timing.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
The three.
Are we still tied?
I screwed up that one.
Yeah. Well, no. Wait. Sorry. Am I winning?
I think you're winning.
I would have.
Oh, shoot. We lost
I
track.
What would you have said? I would have said she had.
Been arrested?
No. Slept with someone older.
I would have said had.
So we're still tied.
Why?
Why not?
This I think I got two right.
Okay. Why not?
No, well,
I mean, because you're.
Because I thought Chris was older than 50. I'll be honest.
Just did.
No shade. No shade. No tea. No shade.
I knew he was.
I'm not good
40s.
With ages.
I just feel assumed like before you met Chris, like you, you know, you were a mature person who, like, I did think had you met a good looking 50 year old guy in LA,
she'd
which
be down.
Like, I don't think you would have had a problem with it.
I'm going to take that as a compliment.
It is. Yeah,
Silver that, Fox, take that.
Next question. Does Lauren know who won the most recent Super Bowl? I'm going to say yes because she's dating Chris Harrison.
Obviously, because she's in.
I don't know.
Culture.
I don't know how much of a sports fan she is.
What's
and if she would have known that, has she
looks
not,
like no.
Zero clue.
I am.
You don't know who won?
Who won the Super Bowl? Is it the Patriots? This is just a guess.
Yes, Patriots? But you didn't.
The Patriots won the Super
Total
Bowl.
Total guess based on the fact.
Super Bowl 50.
Would you have said, oh, we're still tied.
Oh, freaking A.
Super Bowl
So,
52.
Lesson learned, don't judge a book by its cover.
Yeah, wow. We really don't know anything about you.
She has a very, what I, here's what I learned about that question.
Yeah. Niche. Niche interests.
While she is dating someone who is a diehard sports fan, Chris, before, for those of you who don't know, who before he was the person who made people fall in love, he was a reporter for the Dallas Cowboys. He's a huge Cowboys fan. He's
sportscaster.
He was a sportscaster.
Cool. Sexy.
He's a guy's guy. And one would think that she dating this guy, at least I would, but it tells me they have a very independent relationship.
Love that.
100%. Beautiful. And you know what? He is... I have never dated someone like him, though, who is, he's so conscious of me having a good time and so wants to make sure that I'm like enjoying myself in any situation that when the Super Bowl happened, we went to a Super Bowl party because like, I guess that's what you do. I don't know. Like, I don't really partake. But he took a little money and like put it in a bet for me so I could like be active and enjoy myself and whatever. I don't even know what that was. I think there was some kind of grid, but he really makes sure I have a good time. But no, I don't know anything about sports. And one thing I love about our relationship is we both have our stuff. We have a lot of things we enjoy to do together. And it's just
like, see what you can learn by asking if they do the Super Bowl is what person kind of relationship they have.
He loves golf, and anytime I enjoy something to do with golf with him, he gives me a glass of wine in my hand.
Have you ever, has Lauren, we're still?
We're tied. This is the final.
Tiebreaker?
No,
tiebreaker.
We have two. Has Lauren ever taken an Uber pool?
Yes.
I'm going to say no.
Never done it. Sounds so...
Wow. Look at you. High society.
You pretentious. 1%.
Is that... why I never do it? Doesn't it take a long time? I just assume it would take a long time.
I took an Uber pool.
You did?
I took an Uber pool.
You're like, to get here.
No. I did it for fun. I took an Uber pool immediately after filming The Bachelor and I got into L.A. I was just kind of
bold move.
I was just kind of like, I had done it before.
Okay.
Did Vanessa know?
Who knows how that
went? Nick, I'll be honest. Did you want a little attention?
Yeah, it looks like you want a little candy in the back seat.
No, it was more like, here's the thing about Uber pool. When I first moved to LA, I had my car, my whole life was in Chicago. And so I came out here and I didn't have a car out here. I had it out there and I had my condo there.
Oh my God, I forgot about this time. This is flooding back to this time in your life. Yes.
I was Ubering all over LA, which can get really expensive. And before Uber, there was a moment where Uber pool like was invented. And I think everyone was kind of like,
what is this? Let's try this.
I'm going to get in a cab with, it's already enough that I have to be driven by this, you know, but you wouldn't do it. And I had this friend who was a woman. And an attractive woman, and I just assumed that she... No, but my point of it is, it's like, I guess her look had nothing to do with it. But she was,
really? Sounds like they did.
No, I point this out because I kind of judged her for being the type of person who would be like, I don't want to get
she
like...
She could do it, you
I wouldn't
do it.
Feel Very comfortable, she. Like she would like, I don't want to like put myself in a situation how guys, and that's why I say that. And she was like, well, why don't you Uber pool? And it was very much like, well, if she can do this, then clearly I can do this. And this was after I had been on like The Bachelorette twice. But at that point, she's telling me, she's like, dude, 9 times out of 10, you're still the only person. So it was before like Uber pool.
Oh,
really.
Yeah, I've never had that experience.
And so.
Wow. So you got out of your comfort zone for this beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Wow,
well, the trick is if you're ever going to Uber pool and you have the time, you got to sit shotgun. You sit shotgun, you put your headphones on.
Oh.
And that way you don't have to talk to the people in the back. The driver's driving and you're like...
I don't have time. That's why I don't do it.
Yeah, but you don't have time, Lauren. Did you get recognized?
No, I sat shotgun.
Good story.
Yeah, anyway. So Lauren's too good to take an Uber pool. She's a little snobby.
I'm too busy. I have stuff to do.
She's a little snobby? Final question.
Wait, you won that. And I didn't.
Can I say, it's actually dangerous for me to take Ubers because I go into interview mode and I interview the driver.
Oh, I never do that.
And before I know it, like this man is telling me about like how he's sending money to his ex because of his daughter. And then I'm like wrapped up. Like it's dangerous
for
me.
I always go in with headphones. It's just like, even if I'm not listening to music. Sorry, man. I can't.
Yeah, I got to learn.
On a call.
Yeah.
Last question. Has Lauren ever, not... necessarily with Chris, so you don't have to, but has Lauren ever used handcuffs in bed?
Oh, that face makes me think yes. I think that's a yes.
So I guess, yeah.
Oh, no.
Or she's just blushing about the question in general. Were they furry?
Looks like she can picture them right in her mind's eye right now. Okay.
All right. So Lauren's super and I have never.
Okay.
Michelle, have you?
No.
You haven't?
No. I haven't. Look at your face. I don't need the extra trimmings. I'm fine with the meal as it is.
Wow. Oh, who doesn't love a side dish?
So Lauren has definitely used handcuffs.
The game Do You Know Me really has really done its job.
Lot.
Yeah.
It tells a lot. I
endorse Do You Know Me.
I have never had them been used on me. I also have never used them on anyone else. I don't want to be tied up. I'm not big on the whole like submission thing.
Oh, maybe you should then.
I also feel weirdly
And yet you'll take an Uber pool.
How is there a correlation?
I see it.
Look at her face.
I see it.
Oh, yeah. My God.
And you're like, let me get in this enclosed space.
Oh.
Well, thanks for playing, Lauren. Do You Know Me?
I love that game.
Yeah, check it out on Amazon.
Yes. Nick won. Nick knows you. But
okay.
Lauren, I'm very fascinated about this Jed story.
Oh, yes.
You had the pleasure of interviewing, I don't know if it was a pleasure, of interviewing his accuser.
Yes, we were her first, are we calling her an accuser? I guess she's accusing him
right,
of some
she
stuff.
She is, right.
Or she's telling their story. And we were her first on-camera interview, Entertainment Tonight, yes.
Do you believe her?
Just at her story. Yeah, I don't have a reason to not believe her.
Just a kind of a yes.
Yeah.
No,
yes, yeah. I believe her. Yeah. I mean, she sent us a text exchange between the two of them. Not that that can't be faked, but I do believe her. Yes, I think it would be wild if at this point when she's going around telling this story to multiple media outlets that no one who knows Jed, like a friend or a family member, wouldn't have come forward and said this person is lying and this is crazy. I think that would have happened by now. If she's
yeah, because then, like, I guess like, the playing the other side of Jed, he's not allowed. He's under contract and he's not allowed to like speak to this.
Yes.
I mean, I guess he could and he could go rogue, but definitely whatever's going on, there's people on the producers who are, he's not allowed to do that. And
100%,
so he would be breaking rules if he were to say something.
Oh, he's not allowed to come and defend himself or say anything?
Well,
he's not allowed to give interviews.
Yeah, until
so listen, it's a different world because social media is what it is with Instagram stories. He could have easily gone and like, hey guys, this bullshit.
Luke took to Instagram to address some stuff.
So like, that happens a lot. And so he could do that. I'm certain he's being advised not to for whatever reason, just because I don't, you know. Yeah. Mm.
Yes.
I believe her.
I do believe her. Yes. You know, some people were kind of tweeting at me and saying, like, I'm defending Jed or something. All that I've said about this is, look, Jed, as we've said, cannot do interviews. So I will just wait until I have fully formed an opinion on the situation until I can interview him. And quite frankly, I want to grill him about it.
Here's the thing about Jed, though, that I couldn't, I mean, you really come across poorly on this episode based off the information that we know.
It was so hard to watch.
It is so
bizarre
to watch
now.
And painful and
dark. The problem I had, like this whole half-truth thing in the sense that like it makes, it's a, you know, this whole Jed came out with this like, hey, you know, Hannah, I just want to be honest. And I, you know, I came here for the platform. You know, and he basically tried to sell himself as an honest person by admitting that he wasn't being honest, but he was still telling a lie while he was doing it, makes it worse. It's like a half truth.
One of the lyrics in the song he sang to her was, I'll never tell a lie.
The darkness factor.
But I mean, specifically,
I see what you're saying.
You think it makes it worse when you try, when like it's a manipulation tactic, even in any relationship, you're like, you try to own up to a mistake, but you do it specifically because you feel guilt. More importantly, and specifically, my guess, he's worried he's going to get caught. Yeah. So he tries to own up for something, but he completely leaves out the most important detail.
Do you think he told her about the girl and they just edited it out?
No, not at all. It's like, for example, think of a situation where a guy or girl cheats on their girlfriend. Let's say he goes to Vegas and he like meets a girl and he like made out with a girl.
Right.
It's that guy, what Jed did to Hannah, it's like he comes home, he feels a lot of guilt, maybe he's worried one of his friends would talk. And so he goes to his girlfriend and says, hey babe, I need to come clean. I met this girl and I nothing happened. I just want you to know nothing happened. But like I was definitely flirting and I was inappropriate and it made me realize, and completely leaving out that he like grinded with her and made out with her and maybe hooked up. And so that people do that all the time.
Yeah.
Icky.
And then it's really icky because you feel like, of course, and then that person feels like that they absolutely are telling the truth, because why would he make that up? People say that all the time. Like, why would he say that if he did left that out? Anyway, yeah. So I just think it makes it 10 times worse what Jed is doing. It makes it that much ugly. If assuming this is all true. Mm-hmm. And I got to say with her, I know there's a side of people saying, well, she is complicit in this. Mm-hmm. She is, but she's more naive than anyone. I gotta say it, because I'm glad if it's true it came out, and I'm not saying she's totally innocent in this, but any reasonable person, if they put themselves in a situation not knowing what this world is like, and they were dating someone for 3 or 4 months, and that person surprised them and said, "Hey, man, I've been like, I got this opportunity, and but it's just for show, and I love you, and this is a show." I think we all righteously want to be like, oh, we would break up, but like this girl is seemingly was in love, mm-hmm, with Jed and feeling these feelings, and according to her, it's the first person she said I love you to. Like, let's not discount, like, who know, we want to always believe the people we love, we want to believe that they love us the most, and then for Jed to like seemingly go on the show, go far, he's like, watching this episode, it seems like for the first time I see Hannah actually falling for someone, mm-hmm, other than Luke P. She likes making out with all these guys, but this is the first time it seemed like Jed had the power dynamic between those two.
Oh.
I mean, she was opening up to him and he was telling her to open up. I mean, how often do you see the cast telling the lead to open up more?
Oh. When she was telling him that it's hard for her to be with the other guys, and she's sort of looking over at him. Those little moments.
She was like saying, I'm going to pick you.
It felt very real to me. Yeah. Just me watching her. I don't want to predict the thoughts in her head, but it looked like her feelings for him were very real.
It seemed, and again, like we may be missing stuff, but that conversation really made it seem like, other than Luke Peach, Jed is the only one she's developing real feelings for. Mm. More than like, I like making out with you and you're sweet and you're nice, but like she was being vulnerable with Jed. And what I'm saying, if you're this girl, like, and he,
yeah,
go, like, he's gone far, how would you feel? Like, clearly she's loving the intention, she's a country music singer, but like any normal person, if they were like dating someone goes on the show and don't come back, you would be pissed, you would be hurt. And so I don't think I'm very more defensive of this girl rather than think like she's been manipulated by Jed.
Well, and
now
just,
she's kind of out to get him. Which I get.
I'm at the point now where I don't want to put him versus her. Because we've heard so much about this. Yeah. She's done multiple interviews now. At the end of the day, it's a mess. They both bad choices. It's a mess. And I'm certainly not defending Jed. And I totally see what you're saying, that I think. And, I talked to her and she said, what she told me was, I kind of didn't think the show was real. I was doing something that I thought I needed to do for someone I love.
I totally believe that. There's a big perception out there, and I see that with people I've interacted with, is that people do believe it's not necessarily real. It's and more so now that you have with social media and Paradise, more so now, even cast members clearly are treating this show like a career opportunity. And I think in the past, it was a naiveness of like, and it was an experience, not necessarily a career playbook.
Well, I think
now it is.
You're definitely getting more people treating it as a career opportunity because everybody knows I'm going to go on the show and at least get X amount of Instagram followers. Well,
most of them are disappointed by what they, but like, yes. And what I'm saying is, and so I totally believe, I don't think that was a disingenuous comment by her.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just at the point now where, this has all come out. I just don't know how much more we're going to get. We still have a month of the show left. And what is a little...
It's going to be brutal to
watch. Well, and what's really strange to watch, is...
It's great TV.
It's going to be great TV. And this whole situation makes it great TV because now I don't know if I've ever looked forward more to whether he's on the Men Tell All or the AFR or whatever. I'm fascinated.
He's my front runner now because like Luke's been such a mess and that like she can't pick him.
Yeah.
In the previews, they make it seem like, I mean, who knows, but it sounds like they're showing us sending Luke home.
Yeah.
And as great as Tyler is and as good looking and as charming as he is.
I'm still holding out for Tyler.
Listen to me. And when Tyler said in this episode, I sincerely want the best for Hannah. I believed two very distinct things in that comment. I believed absolutely that he thinks that. I absolutely believe that Tyler thinks that he wants the best for Hannah.
Yeah.
I believe that he truly thinks that Luke P is not the best for Hannah. And I truly believes he hopes it's anyone but him.
Anyone but Tyler?
Listen, I think he really likes her. And I'm sure if Tyler were listening to this, he would probably be pissed off by that. And I don't. But like when you watch it back, this is a guy, all the guys, even Peter's a great guy. And this is the first time, like, it's hard to make about Luke because, I mean, I'm Jed because of this story. Mm-hmm. But like, and like, I don't agree with almost anything that comes out of Luke P's mouth in terms of how he speaks to Hannah. But he is, seems to be the only one who just looks like he's losing his mind because he likes her so much. In a sense of like, I don't believe, it doesn't seem, I don't believe any of these guys, I could be wrong, is what I'm watching, that they're going to be heartbroken, truly heartbroken when they go home.
Really?
Is someone who's been in that position, like a Blake from last year or Garrett, when you watch the show, I think everyone should have their heart broken at some point in their life. It's a weird fucked up high in a sense. If you can't like relate to the experience of at least in the moment of like literally not knowing if you're going to be okay, like that's a life experience that you have. And I just don't see any of these guys like really being afraid. Mm-hmm. I saw that with Garrett and Blake last year, and that has nothing. I see that with Luke P. Whether I agree with like things he says, I think Luke P right now is so all in and truly believes that it's Hannah and all these guys. I'm just not seeing it. I'm seeing the guys who really care about Hannah, who think she's great, who think she's beautiful and smart and funny. And I think they all hate Luke P and they're all bros.
Yeah. It's like, could you really give Peter a hug for getting a rose?
It's great that they're cool. And sometimes the show does that where it's just like, they're way too excited to support.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, while I don't agree with Luke P, like, it is not wrong for Luke P to be happy that Mike went home. We're talking about these guys who are seemingly talking about,
I can
get engaged to Hannah in 3 to 4 weeks.
Yeah.
And yet they're so happy that there's nothing wrong with that. What the problem with Luke P is the shaming and the judgment
and the
condescension and the misogyny. Yeah,
that's what also makes it fascinating to watch both Luke P and Jed on camera, is because if we didn't know any of this about Jed, he would be saying all the right things and we would be like, wow, they have real feelings for each other and they really seem into each other. And Luke P on camera, I have an easier time. Not an easier time, but I've judged Luke P more because I am seeing with my own eyes the things he's saying that I don't agree with and that I find problematic. And Jed is saying all these things and we're seeing, like we said, real feelings from Hannah. And I have to say, I kind of thought from the drag race date, I thought that Jed might be the guy for Hannah because she has said to me in different interviews, you know, she wants like this like kind of classic Southern guy, but modern. And that's kind of what Hannah is. And I think Jed is giving those vibes, you know, like lives in Nashville. He's got that charm, but he's also this like open, coming across this open-minded guy.
I'm pretty sure Jed used a line from one of his songs. What did he say, Rochelle?
What about her bod?
No, there's something about earth or the...
The falling through the earth thing? Was that from one of his songs?
I don't know. It's got
we should
it.
Listen to his song now.
There is no way that line is not written on some sort of note. And when he's like pretending he's writing songs and it's like...
My heart, the earth opened up and my heart fell through.
But I agree with you, Lord. I think Jed is clearly the front. Just from watching the show, Jed is...
This episode was very telling.
To me, it was like...
Well, they did the Tyler dirty with that pickled herring and the horses.
I was literally
did him dirty.
I would have thrown up.
I thought to myself, I wonder if, and you can tell me more that you know more than me, but I was like, are the producers worried that he's coming across too perfect?
They sabotaged him.
Make him awkward on a horse and throw up from a fish.
She could have been more unattracted to him at that point. She was just like, God.
It was a side of Tyler we've never seen. I really felt I was watching him fall from grace and nearly fall off a horse.
No, I don't think the producers think that way. I am very... Tyler's a very impressive guy. Even like you look at his social media, he's an impressive.
He's organizing group runs in Central Park.
Around to you,
no,
Tyler.
I've always been a fan of Tyler, and he is objectively impressive. Where I'm like, again, I think to myself, like, I wasn't doing this at 25, 26. Yeah. So he's also a guy, you know, in a sense that like you are definitely seeing the best parts of Tyler. And again, I don't want to take anything away from all like the right things Tyler has said. But again, I just don't see a guy who's truly gonna, who's afraid of losing something. And from personal experience in that world, imagine falling in love with someone and then and watching him date a bunch of other guys who are threats. No human being can be that chill.
Yeah.
In that situation. And that doesn't mean you have to, and that's not an excuse for Luke to say the things he's saying. You can like try to, you can be respectful and calm. Like Blake, for example, when Blake got broken up with Becca, he was respectful. He also was losing his shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm just saying like these guys' ability to be like so fucking cool tells me about the stakes that they really have or maybe don't have. Mm-hmm. 'Cause it's easy to say the right thing.
I think there's part of them that is just so excited when, like, about the idea of Luke P finally leaving. Like, they want to get rid of him so bad.
Sure.
But I totally see what you're
saying.
But
if they were
they were all very excited that Peter had a rose.
They care too much. If there was another guy who was truly, like, in it, he would just be like, listen, all I care is about me and her. And, like, this is all, like, it'll all work itself out. Mm-hmm. And I just don't, I'm not seeing that. And it happens every season. And, again, guys, it's easy to fall in love with your peers because that's who, is friends, because that's who you're seeing more.
So having been The Bachelor, after this episode, which I felt was very telling, and we saw three people go home, who would you pick right now to be the next Bachelor? Who would be the best? I would, and I say that question asking who would be the make the best.
I would have picked Mike before this episode. I think, if I'm being honest, I really, you know, I think The Bachelor needs to have the first Black Bachelor.
You don't think he has a shot still?
Sure, of course he has a shot. I mean, as a fan, I think it was a very poor showing for Mike. No. It was kind of a weak.
Why?
It was a weak goodbye. I don't, again, he's like this, I'm ready to get married to you. Based on what? Like, there's no connection between the two. So now he's like just saying things. And I didn't like it. Just see, it sounded, he came across to me as disingenuous. And I just, it was just.
I've always gotten a friend. I got a friend's vibe.
It was just like, I didn't think the show went out of their way to have like this big, sometimes there's just like a big goodbye and this emotional moment.
Right.
Mike's goodbye was very forgettable. And so just objectively.
Gracious.
Fine. I'm not criticizing Mike the person,
right.
Or his goodbye. I'm just saying from a fan standpoint, it was forgettable and it didn't seem like he was a priority for the show. So I guess I would say, minus the Jed drama, I would have said Peter, Jed, and Tyler.
Who are you picking? Tyler
or Peter?
The best television show.
Okay. Tyler or Peter? Clearly, from what the fans are saying, you know, Tyler or Peter?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I always and I talk to people about this a lot. Like, look, Colton didn't necessarily have the biggest following before he was Bachelor.
He was up there,
but he made.
He was the most charismatic.
But a lot of people were calling on Twitter so adamantly for other people. But Colton made for the best television show. He had a great story.
Yeah.
So I want the best TV show. I think what like. I am really excited.
I don't know much about Peter.
That's the thing. I feel like I need to know more about both Tyler and Peter, and I really want to see emotional moments from both of them. I need it.
Tyler is too collected, and for a bachelor, it's almost like great. You're charming, and you're smooth, and you're good looking, but like.
But you know, we got more eps. Yeah. I don't know. I hate to say I need the tears. I want to see those tears from them. I do.
Well, let's take some fan questions before Lauren has to wrap up and. Yeah.
Hey, thank you for having me, Nick Vile.
Thanks for.
Question time with Nick. Let's ask Nick your sexy questions.
Hi, what's your name?
How are you?
Good, how are you? What's your name?
My name's Kyla.
Kyla, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm great, I'm Nick, this is Lauren.
Hi, Kyla, Lauren Zima, so nice to meet
you. We also have Rochelle in the room.
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Hi. What's your question? Hi.
So I've been dating my boyfriend for 5 years now, and a little over a month ago, I caught him playing with himself to a picture of a girl we both knew right beside me in bed. So I kicked him out and we broke up for a couple weeks, but now it's like everything's back to normal. Eventually I let him move back in.
I'm sorry for interrupting. What do you mean but it's back to Wait, so you were living
it's not back to normal.
You were living with him?
We like somewhat resolved things, and I let him move back in. And but I'm just basically trying to figure out things mentally on my part.
Okay.
And I would like an opinion from someone who doesn't know the situation, like just a stranger, basically. And
he used her Instagram to consider that cheating. Kyla, I think it's very problematic that it was someone you both know.
Yeah.
So wait, so hold on. So you walked in on him masturbating?
No, she was laying in bed with
him. No, he was in bed right next to me.
Masturbating.
To a picture of someone they both know.
And he assumed you were sleeping?
He thought that I was sleeping, yeah.
That's a bold motherfucker.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to understand why someone would do that. That's just
and
really
so, like,
stupid.
You looked over. He's holding the. Is he was just like a picture of her and just rubbing one.
Actually, I forgot to tell you, he was on my phone to get to her account.
So Kyla,
I mean, he assumes you're sleeping, but like that doesn't make it. It just makes it weirder. But I guess not.
And how did he explain himself as to why he would do that?
Well, basically, I knew, like, I was turned over and I knew exactly what he was doing. And when I turned over, he clicked the phone off. And I, like, he was just immediately saying, I'm not watching porn. I'm not watching porn. So I grabbed the phone from him. I put him outside the room. And I went on my phone. And what popped up was a picture of this girl in a bikini on Instagram. And, just the whole time he tried to explain to me that it wasn't him watching porn. And I'm like, yeah,
I would argue that him watching porn would have been a better.
That's my thing too. I think it's a big problem that you know her, Kyla. I would say just go ahead and get yourself out of that relationship. I'm sorry. I'm being really blunt, but you deserve better. You deserve better, babe. You do.
That's definitely, I mean, ultimately, probably. I mean, you've been living with him. How long, you've been dating for 5 years. It's so like, yes, it's just like, it's weird that you were looking at a picture. I mean, listen, as a, if we're trying to be objective here, do men and women, if we're all being honest, if we've been in a relation, is this your first, are you guys, how old, you don't seem that old. So you've been in for 5 years. How old are you? Is he your first boyfriend?
I'm 21.
Okay.
We're both 21.
So, like, yeah, you guys are both super young. You've pretty much all you've ever known. I am not defending him at all. But, like, we've all, like, I'm sure in our brains have thought of, have fantasies. Like, I don't sit there and pretend that I'm sure you've saw another guy and thought he was attractive. And maybe you've fantasized him, like, getting the picture of your friend. It does make it a lot worse. And it makes it, like, kind of tangible in a sense. But it's a weird thing.
It feels more emotional.
It feels more emotional because it's like, it's a, and I'm not defending him, but I guess I mean, we've all been there where you think about our mind goes. And like we Lauren and I both joked, it would have been better if he's watching porn.
Yeah.
Right. And in a weird way, like let me ask you this. Had you woken up and he was masturbating to porn, what would you have thought?
Better, but I mean, still
not ideal.
The room, you know,
Kyla. You know what? I'm just going to pivot onto something totally different here. Do you feel like you know who you are without your boyfriend?
Yeah, I'm fine. Like, see, when we broke up, you know, everyone was trying to tell me this is when you need to figure out who you are, and I basically like I feel like I know who I am, so
sure.
Okay.
It's not like my world revolves around him at
I just
all.
Asked because you guys got together pretty young.
Yeah, listen, whether you know, to Lauren's point, whether you know who you are or not, like, and I, not to sound condescending, you are young and that's an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. And regardless of how much you already know, there's you, I hope that you hope that you have a lot more to learn. Just regardless of any 21 year old, there's so much life and there's so much things that as people we can all learn. And so This mistake doesn't make him a bad person, and I can't even necessarily makes him a cheater, because like it's just, it was weird and he got caught, and it's like a poor decision on his part. But like, yeah, it might be an opportunity for you to take a like, maybe he's moved back in. Maybe this is a real opportunity to see if this is like because clearly he has, this is going to be a thing that you're wondering if he's thinking about other people. And maybe because you guys have been together for most of your adult life, that maybe you guys need to experience life outside of each other. You guys are so young that you could break up and date other people. But
you,
like,
have time. I think if you're meant to be together and if you date other people, the only thing that will help you do is get resolved that he is the person for you. You know, if you go and kind of date other people and experience the world a little bit and you miss him and you're thinking about him, then that'll give you some resolution.
Is it cheating, though, if you do that?
Is it cheating?
Well, you've got to be on the same page.
It's emotionally, like, it definitely, I'm sure you felt emotionally cheated, and I think she has a right to feel that way for sure, right? At the same time, as humans, we have all fantasized about people. Maybe we didn't take off the phone, but like, I'm sure people listening have, whether it, for him to do it next to you while you're sleeping, and does it make it okay if like he did it while you were at work and couldn't have got caught? But like, I bet that's happened. People in relationships masturbate to porn, and sometimes they communicate and their spouses know, you know?
Yeah.
It's a weird thing, but I think, and more importantly, to Lauren's point, you guys, maybe you need to experience life outside of each other, regardless if you know yourself or not. And clearly he is thinking about other girls, and that doesn't make him a bad person, but he shouldn't be doing it in a relationship. So maybe you guys should have life without each other and see if it's really a relationship you guys want to be in with each other.
Definitely. It's definitely been one of my thoughts. So.
All right.
You're beautiful, right, Kyla.
Yeah, you're going to be.
How cute you are.
Thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
It's so nice to meet you.
You as well. Guys. Thanks for calling.
Okay, bye.
She seemed awfully excited.
This is such an emotional burden you take on, Jesus. Oh my God, you got to advise these people in their 5-year relationship.
The best part of the show.
This is a lot.
Hello?
Hello.
It's Tracy.
Hi, Tracy. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
I'm good. I'm Nick. This is Lauren.
Hi, Lauren.
We also have Rochelle in the room.
Hello.
Hi.
And what's your question, Tracy?
Okay, so I'll try to make this as succinct as I can. So my husband and I have been together for 9 years, married for 6 years. And we have a 3-year-old daughter.
Did you say 6 years?
Yes.
Okay.
About 2 years ago, my husband started getting very unhappy and kind of depressed just with life in general. Mm-hmm. So I talked to him about it, and he thought he was having like a midlife crisis, and he needed something in his life that was just his and that didn't revolve around just my daughter and I. So I signed him up for some improv classes he was interested in, and he really liked that for a while, and then things kind of went back to how they were before.
Okay.
So I thought maybe it was a problem between the two of us, and we needed to, like, connect more. So I tried to set up date nights for us twice a month.
Sure.
Like, once a month we'd get a babysitter and go out and do something, and then once a month we'd put my daughter to bed and have a date night in, and I'd, like, plan something fun for us to do. Those dates went fine, but the next day things went back to how they were before. He started, as time went on, getting like mean and said mean things to me and just didn't really seem to like me. So I kind of took the approach of, I like made a conscious decision to stop caring about that and just focus on my daughter and stop worrying about that I wasn't being good enough for him. And just wanted to, like, enjoy life with my daughter. So we did that, and I discovered that I could do everything I needed to do with her on my own. I didn't necessarily need my husband. And then we had a family vacation with my family, and he was horrible to me that whole week, like, yelling at me and just being really mean, and my family was really concerned, but I didn't want them to talk to him about it because I thought it was something we needed to work on together. So after that, I told him that we needed to go to counseling, and I was going to go, and if he didn't want to go, that was fine, but I was going because I didn't know what else to do. So he came with me, and shortly after that, he started taking medication for anxiety. This was back in, like, September we started doing this, and ever since then, we've been going to counseling, and he's been really improving a lot and, like, taking to heart everything that I've been saying that I've had issues with, and it was going really well. But for some reason, I'm struggling now to get the feelings back that I had for him before any of this ever happened.
Sure.
I know that he's really trying to be better and he is being better, but I, for whatever reason, I can't emotionally get myself back there. So I don't know. I'm wondering what can I do to like fully forgive him and fall back in love with my husband, because right now I feel like we're not there at all. And I don't want to be stuck in a marriage where I don't love my husband forever.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, listen, I think, thanks for your question. It's a very vulnerable and honest question. And you're in a tough spot. I think there's a couple things to consider here. I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? In terms of, you basically through your story kind of told us kind of an evolution of your relationship, right? And the one theme that I noticed when you're telling the story, it's literally you're doing all the work. You know, he was needed some more excitement, so you signed him up for improv, and like, you know, you suggested counseling, and you know, you were like doing 90% of this relationship, and he was showing up, and that takes its toll in terms of like the desire to make it work. In that process, you again realize that you could do these on his own and on your own. And so that fear of like needing the partner or needing that person to help me, you became a kind of a independent, powerful person, right? And so that kind of makes sense of why maybe now you're feeling these feelings of like, do I really need you? And there's some resentment in there. And like you even mentioned, like the ability to forgive. At the same time, you are married, and like it just kind of depends on what your vows mean to you. And I'm not saying like people do get divorced, and sometimes I know you say, you know, death do your part, but sometimes the right thing to do, unfortunately, is to separate, right? And I think you're just in a position to decide, what's your timeline? What's your patience level? I mean, I've never been married, but every time I've talked to a married couple who's had, you know, 20, 30, 40 plus years of marriage, they talk about good years and bad years, not like months and days. So this might be something you have to get through. I think it's very honest. I think you need to communicate with him where you're at, too, without making him feel threatened. But there's not, I think you just have to continue to keep doing what you're doing and eventually figure out if you can get it back, right? But like, I don't think there's anything wrong, especially you have a family together, to try to make it work. This might be a process that could take 6, 12 months, 18 months to get back. I don't think it's going to change overnight. And my guess is subconsciously, I don't know, is it subconscious? Do you feel like how permanent is this? His effort that he's showing, like, do you even know if this is like, if it's genuine or if he means it, or is he just like trying to make it work kind of thing? So you're probably processing all this and figuring it out, you know?
I think you got to see the effort. That's the thing. You have to feel like you see continued sustained effort from that other person, because any relationship, whether it's marriage, friendship, or work relationship, is a two-way street. And I understand why your feelings would wane if you're not seeing the effort from him, especially if you've been very communicative and clear that you need to see effort from him. If you're telling him, I need you to do these things, I need to see these things from you, and that's not happening time and time again, I understand your feelings. And you know what? At the end of the day, you have to feel like you gave it your all before you walk away. So that's a question I would ask myself. Do I feel like I have tried everything I absolutely can?
When you say like you have to forgive him, do you feel resentment? Do you feel resentment towards him?
I guess I thought, like we talked about this together in family, and I thought that I had forgiven him. And then as we've gone through, you know, my coming with, for lack of a better word, like different complaints, every time we meet with our therapist and he's actually making an effort to fix these things and I'm not having these feelings come back, I'm thinking that, I mean, I don't know why they're not coming back. So I'm thinking maybe it is because I'm still resentful and I don't know how to get over that, because I don't feel like I am. But when I think about it, I still feel really bad about the situations that happened. So
yeah.
I guess I am. I just don't know how to.
What's your
forgive.
I guess my question is, what's your trust level that this new person is gonna, you know what I'm saying? Do you believe that? Because if I were you, I would have uncertainty about like how he's gonna be, and that would make me wonder if it's really worth my time. And I wonder if you feel that, you know, like, do you trust that this new version of him is really the new version of him, or is it just kind of like this kind of temporary thing? you know?
Yeah, and I don't know. I definitely feel that way, and I don't know how to know that for sure.
Yeah.
So
I mean, listen, I don't have a hard, like, do this or do that. All I want to say is, it sounds like you're doing the right things. You're doing as much as you can, and I commend you for that. You're doing therapy. You just kind of have to keep checking yourself and checking in with yourself. I think there's nothing wrong with giving it more time and wanting to make this work. And then you have to decide what your breaking point is. And you have to figure out whether this is going to be something that you could regret if you left a relationship. But if he's willing to do the work, and you love him, you might not be in love with him, but you love him as a person and you love the family. There's nothing wrong with seeing if you can get that feeling back. And it might take some time, you know, but at some point, if it's gone, then it's, I guess, gone, you know. But you're doing the right things. You're doing everything you can at this point. I think that's great.
All our love to you, girl. You're gorgeous. It sounds like you're prioritizing yourself and your daughter. So good for you.
Thank you. All right. Thank you.
Well, take care. I hope that was somewhat helpful. Just keep your head up high and keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Bye, Tracy.
Lauren, thanks for coming.
Thank you for having
me. So much fun. Good luck with your relationship.
Oh, thanks.
Not that I want you to break up, but if you do, can we have the exclusive?
No. Oh my God.
No. I'm seeing great things.
The tables have really
turned. If I ever, you know, get in a relationship, maybe we can double.
Ooh.
And then, you know, we'll just go from there.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks
this
for
so much
being
fun.
A friend.
So funny.
Thanks for being a friend of Bachelor Nation. Oh. Give me all the dirt that you get. we'll see you next time. Fans, thanks for listening. If you like us, always, you know, we appreciate the 5 stars if you could. And we will see you next week.
Crazy.